Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Cain. As I see it. Common sense. In a world of insanity.
Ladies and gentlemen, I guess it's no secret that many Americans right now are very worried about the possibility of there being a war. What with what's happening in the Ukraine, with China flying their balloons over here and probably going to invade Taiwan. I've heard it said that some of Putin's top advisors are saying once they take the Ukraine, they may branch out into Poland. So yes, of course, there is righteous concern that we could be on the verge of yet another war. But the truth of the matter is, folks, we are already in a war. And the sad reality is that the war we're fighting right now is with ourselves. It's America versus America, but it's two very different forces, folks. It's a force that wants to fundamentally change everything we love about America into a much different America that they envision, that becomes a liberal, Marxist, all communistic country. And the truth of the matter is, we've been fighting this war a very long time, but it's not the way you may think it. They held back and they did things very, very carefully and very, very calculating. And one tiny little baby step at a time led them to the present, where now the war is becoming much more obvious. But I want to go back to the roots of where this started, because it was a long, long time ago, and it began with a concentrated effort to place like-minded individuals into positions of power and authority, which means that for many, many years, maybe longer than some of us have been alive, the plan has been, let's get people who are like-minded and have the same ideology as we do and the same lust to change America into something different, into positions where they can help fundamentally begin this process. That means politicians, yes. And we know with George Soros money and backing of many other foreign sources, they were able to get politicians in that want to do exactly that. But it wasn't just politicians, because politicians alone wouldn't be enough. They needed to get people into positions of authority when it comes to judges, FBI, CIA. They needed to get people in positions of authority such as the police, teachers, lawyers, prosecutors, you name it. They had to have all their ducks in a row, because any one of these particular branches could have, in fact, snuffed out their ability to function properly. So once they had all of these ducks in a row and they had the prosecutors they needed who were wise to their agendas, they had the judges they needed that were wise to their agendas, they had the school teachers, they had the FBI, the top brass at the FBI, they had the politicians. They had all their ducks in a row. That's when they went to make their move. Their move, of course, was to elect Hillary Clinton the president, and it backfired. And it set them back a tremendous bit. But they were not deterred, folks. They were not deterred. They went on and recaptured the White House through whatever means you want to say. It began, of course, the indoctrination of our children, because they need a future where everyone is like-minded. They can't have individual thought. At one time, it was considered a teaching mechanism to allow your student to think what they thought and rationalize for themselves and not shove one particular ideology down their throat. But no, those days were gone. They managed to get people into colleges first, professors, heads of colleges, then teachers right down to literally grade school level to prepare the next generation who would look at the people who truly loved America and our freedoms and say, are you crazy? This isn't the way we want America to be, because they could never win as long as there were more of us who, once we got a little maybe more mature and had a little bit of life experience, realized that this Marxist system, that never works. Socialism doesn't work. So they had to indoctrinate the children. And that's what they've been doing for a very long time, indoctrinating your children. Wasn't really until the pandemic hit that parents were aware that their children were being indoctrinated. Once parents were aware, then the next step was the destruction of family values and morals. And suddenly the things that were the most unmoralistic became the celebrated. And the more moralistic aspects of life, well, those were old-fashioned and dated and racist and misogynistic, and they had to take away your childhood. Everything you grew up with in your childhood was evil and bad and horrible, and that needs to be rejected. The comedies you laughed at, the music you listened to, the movies you watched, the products you grew up with, they all had to go because they were just reminders of a past that you clung to and you wanted to continue. And they didn't want. They couldn't have that. So they begin indoctrinating your children and sexualizing your children. And the pandemic allowed parents to see that firsthand. And we found out that many of the lessons that were being taught were not lessons that were going to actually help little Mary or Johnny to succeed in life. It was helping them to create an army of people who were like-minded sheep who would follow what they say. And that was a big problem. I mean, folks, it's going on to this day. Going on to this day. I just saw a story that would blow your mind. Apparently, a school took a group of students, some with parents as chaperones, to a bondage and S&M exhibit, where people were openly flaunting their S&M gear, being tied up, coming out with latex and rubber outfits, and they were having discussions about this. There were kids there as young as infants. And I know that there might be a few people listening to me that says, well, I don't really mind if little Johnny or little Mary goes to see, a preference. If someone is gay and they explain their gay lifestyle or their lesbian lifestyle, I guess I'm okay with it. Okay, well, listen, that's your kid. But I would argue that your kid is not ready for that. If you think they are, fine, but that's a preference. That's a sexual preference. Bondage and S&M is not a preference. It's not a sexual preference. It's not preferring male or female. It's just a form of actual sexuality. So why in the world would any educational facility find that sort of thing helpful or in any way educational to a child? You know, I once joked on the show, shall we take them to a strip club? I guess the answer is yes. Shall we take them to orgies? I guess yes. Because now it's no longer about who you prefer to sleep with. Now it's no longer about your lifestyle and the choices you make when in terms of a partner or who you love or who you date or who you, have a relationship with. Now it's about how you conduct those relationships, which is far different. So even the people who are standing on principle saying, I don't mind if my child knows about gay lifestyle, Do you mind if they know about how they tie them up and beat them? Do you want to know how they fasten them and put the gags in their mouth, the ball gags in their mouth and things? Is that what you want your kids to know? Is that something you think is appropriate for a 6-7-year-old kid? Because if the answer is yes, you'd have your children taken away. You're a very, very sick individual. Very sick individual. But they're doing it anyway, and they don't care. Because you see, one part of this war is that your children can't listen to you because you're old-fashioned and you may love this country the way it was. And that can't be. This is a new country where children have the right to express their sexuality, even with adults, apparently. That's what they want. That's part of this new world. Tell you something else that's a part of the new world. Lessening the laws. Suddenly, the police are terrible, evil people for trying to keep you safe. They're not trying to keep you safe. They're oppressing people who are just trying to express themselves. So if you're robbed, much like Lori Lightfoot said, who thankfully lost her bid to be the mayor again in Chicago, Lori Lightfoot once infamously said, you know, with all the robberies going on, I don't know why these stores continue to put up their fancy purses right up front where you can just grab them and run. I don't know why they don't lock them away. I don't know why they don't put alarm systems on certain things so that if you try to grab it, I mean, after all. Oh, so it's the store's fault. I get it. It's not the fault of the person coming in and deciding I'm going to rob you. That person's blameless. It's the store's fault itself for not being adequately secure. Now, I heard someone say, and they're absolutely right, that argument is the same argument as, well, if you dress provocatively and you get raped, I guess it's your fault. That's your fault. You were wearing something provocative. Of course a guy's going to jump you. That's what Lori Lightfoot said, in effect, because what she's saying is, well, if you're a store and you sell high-end stuff and you keep it out where people can grab it, they're going to take it, and that's your fault. That's the same argument, folks. That's the exact same argument. But they don't care. Oh, as long as it's not over $800, don't worry about it. You can't even stop them because they're not criminals. They're just expressing themselves, just like the George Floyd rioters. Explain to me, no matter how you feel about George Floyd, explain to me how you are fighting what you consider inequality in the police force and the way they do business with African Americans by breaking into a Nike store and stealing all the Nikes, by torching a store that an African American man owned and worked very, very hard to build up, and now it is gone. Explain to me how that helps. Those are not people expressing their opinion. Those are not people who are trying to rally for a cause. Those are criminals. And what happened to those criminals? They were absolutely upheld. The current vice president of the United States helped bail a lot of those people out. Called them heroes. Called them heroes. Because anarchy is a very important part of this war. You remember in Portland, when they took over part of the Portland, the mayor there said, it's going to be a summer of love and wonderful, wonderful, wonderful celebration of people's rights to speak their mind, until they started shoveling in weapons and telling anyone within earshot, if the police show up, we're shooting them on sight. But those weren't criminals. Those were people who were righteously angry and just expressing themselves. You know who the criminals were? The people who went to the school board meetings and said, I don't want my kid going to an S&M show. I don't want my kid reading a book on explicitly how to give oral sex. Oh, those were the terrorists. Those were the ones who belonged in jail. Because they had to turn this upside down, folks. This is part of their war. This is part of the war. The strategy is divide and conquer. The strategy is first, divide the country in half politically, which you succeeded in doing. I know people who were lifelong friends who were divided politically and they won't speak to each other. I know family members who say, I won't go to my family's house anymore for Thanksgiving dinner or Easter dinner, even birthdays, because they voted for Biden and they're idiots, or they voted for Trump and they must be Nazis and I'm sorry, I'm disowning them. Yeah, that's what they wanted, folks. Then when they got you divided by political class, they begin to divide you by race. They convince you're better off away from the white people. Wouldn't it be nice if you had your own dormitories and only black people could go into those dormitories? Wouldn't it be nice if you were with people who look just like you? That's called segregation. And instead of these African Americans saying to themselves, no, I wouldn't be better off. I like cultural diversity. I thought that's what the left loves so much, is cultural diversity. No, I want to be all inclusive. I thought that's what you loved. They gladly and eagerly said, yes, yes, this is our place. Because they were indoctrinated into thinking it's a reward, not a punishment. We'll gladly accept segregation because now it's a reward. Little knowing all the while, you're dividing yourself. And they're loving every moment of it, every single moment. And it's, of course, unfair. And what it does is it causes more people to become what you might say is racist. And I heard, I don't know what the man's name is, but apparently he is the creator of the comic strip Dilbert. And this man got so agitated that he said something, quite frankly, I think is a little stupid. He said, look, I just saw a survey that said 48% of African Americans say it is not okay to be white. It is not okay. That's almost half. So there is no fixing this. We literally, my recommendation to you, and this is what he said, my recommendation to you is you just move out of areas where there are black people if you're white. And if you're black people, move out of areas where there's white people if you're black. For that, he was canceled. All his comic strips were taken completely off all the newspapers. And he clearly said, I know my career is going to be over when I say this, but I don't think there's any fixing it. Now, do I agree with that? Hell no, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. But I'm going to tell you that I can point out several black leaders who said worse things about white people, and they were not canceled. Several black leaders who said white people are terrible people, they're horrible people, they've been indoctrinated to be racist, every one of them is a racist, you can't trust any of them, they were never canceled. So what ends up happening is, see, when you favor one group, much like when you're a parent and you favor one child and the other child gets bitter and angry and starts to take out their frustration on that other child because they feel like they're getting preferential treatment, that's what ends up happening here. And now you have people who had no racist tendencies at all in their body saying, this isn't fair. Skin color. Remember when they said they were only going to give black farmers money? Now they're saying they're going to give millions of dollars to only black people in San Francisco or whatever the hell it happens to be. So white people are like, what the hell? But that's what they want. They've already divided you politically. Now they have to divide you racially to make you easier to conquer, to make it easier for them to take over. And that's what they're going to do. Now they started criminalizing opposition. It wasn't just enough that, well, I disagree with you. It's, well, if you disagree with me, then you are a terrorist. If you disagree with me, you're a threat to the government. You can't go to a school board meeting and say, hey, if you keep this nonsense up and you keep putting books in the library that gives explicit instructions on how to give oral sex to someone, to my 11-year-old, you're going to pay the price for that.
Oh,
well, they're domestic terrorists. They threatened my life. I didn't hear any threat on the life. You know how many teachers used to say to me, hey, Marcus, you don't show up and take this test, you're going to suffer the consequences. Well, I guess they're terrorists then. I guess the teachers are terrorists. They're telling me I must do something or I'm going to face consequences. Where's Merrick Garland? Get those teachers and throw them in the gulag. They're threatening students. You see, it's very easy to interpret something that an angry parent says. When you want that angry parent, you're trying to elicit that response. It's not like these people were shocked by the response. If I walk over to the next door neighbor's house, ring the doorbell, and when the guy's wife answers, I plant one on her and kiss her for 5 seconds and throw her down onto the lawn and walk away, I expect my neighbor to come knocking on my door pissed off. They knew you were going to be pissed off. They wanted you to be pissed off. They wanted angry parents shouting and yelling and screaming, what are you doing to my child? Because then they could label you terrorist. Just like they wanted you to enter the Capitol building on January 6th. So badly, they were pulling you in there. So they could label you all terrorists. Political opponents are now terrorists. Because that's the only way a Marxist and a fascist country survives. And that's what they want this country to be. So they've got all of their ducks in a row here, folks. They've planted the people in the right spots. You now have judges literally saying, you molested a girl from the time she was 8 till the time she was 11. All right, well, you know what? Just go to probation. I'm not going to throw you in jail. We just don't have room in jail. I heard Merrick Garland say that. You know, he's testifying before the Senate. And you can all be thankful he was never appointed to the Supreme Court, because this man is as weak and feckless as any human being I've ever seen in my life. And the answer to every single question is, I don't know. I don't know. Then they have to degrade your morals. Because, you see, if you were brought up with a strong moral code, you can see what's right and wrong. I once said, and I will stick by what I say, if you're someone who says, I won't steal from a store because I fear going to jail, otherwise I would, then you're still a thief. You're just a cowardly thief. You fear the consequences worse than you want the whatever you want to steal. But if you're someone like me that says, I would never steal from a store even if there was no law, because it's not mine. And it's not right, person, they have to stop. That's the sentiment they need to extract from your children and extract from the future citizens of the United States. They don't want that, because a strong moral value is their enemy, because then you can see when something's right or wrong. Well, they've already partially succeeded, because it doesn't matter what they do to Donald Trump, as long as it's Donald Trump. I truly believe a good portion of this country would cheer if a mob grabbed him and decided to hang him from a lamppost like Mussolini. There'd be people saying, yes, yes. There'd be people saying, wait, hold the phone. How dare you? I don't care if I voted for him or not. Do you think I would support that? Do you think if a mob of people said, we're going to go get Joe Biden, I'd say, oh, what, are you crazy? But we're hearing it, folks. East Palestine, Ohio was literally nuked with chemicals. And Joy Behar and people on The View said, well, you get what you vote for. Donald Trump lessen some of the restrictions on the and the safety measures on a train. So, hey, too bad if you all die of some horrible disease. They don't even care. They have been totally desensitized, and that is on purpose. Remember what the Nazis did? They had to desensitize the German citizens to the Jews. Otherwise, good German citizens would say, what are you doing to these people? There's no way on earth I'm supporting what you're doing to these people. Okay, you want to take over. Okay, you want to have a war, but you don't have to do this to these people. But they didn't think they were people. They desensitized them until they were just saying, yes, they must be taken care of. It's coming close to that here, folks. It's coming real close to that here. When you hear someone like Joy Behar literally say the people in East Palestine's getting what they deserve, when she doesn't know how many of them is going to die of chemically induced bronchitis, some of them children, you think they haven't succeeded? They've desensitized you. That was part of their plan, too. And it's working. It's working very, very well. Then you had to undermine religion. And I'll tell you why you had to undermine religion, because religion is where the highest moral values come from. Now, I'm not an extraordinarily religious person. But I can tell you this. There's a higher moral value in a Christian home than there would be in a home of a Marxist. So they don't want your children raised that way. They don't want you to have any higher moral code or answer to any higher power than them. They are God. See, that's what they want to be. They're your gods. They're your rulers. That's what will happen in this new America. Don't believe me? Well, then explain to me why the FBI literally sent people pretending to be members of a church into churches to see if they were having worship during COVID. And if they were, arrest them. But they didn't arrest any of the George Floyd rioters, and the ones they did, they bailed out. Outside of abortion clinic, a man was just protesting. And I guess he disturbed the peace a little bit. They told him, well, you know, you're going to be under arrest for disturbing the peace. He said, I'll turn myself in. I'll come and turn myself in. Instead, the DOJ sent armed SWAT team members to the man's house at the wee hours of the morning. He had small children. He didn't assault anybody. He didn't threaten anybody's life. Thing outside an abortion clinic, but you can't have that. Can't have that. But if you go to the home of Supreme Court justices threatening to kill them if they don't refused to repeal Roe versus Wade, not one person was arrested, except the one guy who literally turned himself in and said, I was here to kill Judge Kavanaugh, and he had weapons. I want people to know that that is 100% against the law. You cannot protest outside the house of a Supreme Court justice because it's called unduly influencing or attempting to influence a decision. You can't do it. Hundreds did it. Not one got arrested. But the man who protested outside the abortion clinic, they came for him with SWAT rifles. Was there anybody planted from the FBI inside that crowd, that mob, that was protesting outside the Supreme Court justice's house? No. But they were in your church pews saying, next person comes in here is going to jail. I'm taking names. They needed to break down your religious faith. They needed to crush that. Because that's where your moral code comes from most often or very often. If not from your parents and your upbringing, then certainly from your religion. So that had to go. That's why there's a war on Christianity. They have to break the moral code. In order to 100% succeed, they have to break the moral code. And they're trying very hard. And then again, they're winning. Then the next step is to change the voting laws a little bit. Oh, it's perfectly okay to have voting mailboxes right outside areas where it's the highest density of Democrats. And it's perfectly okay to ballot harvest. And it's perfectly okay for people to vote anytime they want and count votes late and change laws on how you can vote. And everything is going to be 100% centrally focused on changing the laws and even the Constitution if they have to make sure they stay in power. Once all of those things are in place, there's absolutely no hope for you. You can't vote them out. Your kids have to go to school. You have to go to work. So you're theirs. You're their puppet, and they'll tell you what to eat and what to drive and how you can be. They'll tell your children what they will learn and won't learn. I guess they'll be taking your children to S&M shows. So a brave little boy stand up at a school meeting. He's 11 years old and read from a book that basically was about two boys deciding they were going to have sex on a bed in very explicit detail. He said, when I returned the book, the librarian asked me if I wanted the graphic novel version that had the pictures. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. What would you do if a babysitter came to your house and read your child a book about another kid having sex with his male friend, and then said, would you like to see the book that has the picture so I can show you exactly how they did this? You would have them arrested. You would call them a pedophile, and you would have them arrested. The librarian's doing the same thing, and she's being called a hero. She's being called progressive and wonderful. She belongs in jail. But she's not going to jail. You know who's going to jail? The parents who get up on a microphone like I just did and say, enough is enough. You don't get the right to sexualize my child. You don't get the right to take her to a drag show, an S&M show. You don't get the right to fill her head or his head with nonsense and books that are meant for adults. Oh, we're domestic terrorists. We have to be dealt. Meanwhile, the people who are outside the Supreme Court Justice's house saying, rule the way we want. We know where your children go to school. Rule the way we want. We know your church. We're posting it online. Did you know Judge Kavanaugh's children go to this school? Wouldn't it be a shame if they walked out of school one day and something happened? That's not terrorism. No, no. That's the right to protest. Oh, it's so American and wonderful. They're exercising their right to make their voice heard. But you're a parent and you can't. Because you're the opposition. You don't get a voice. That's the way the new country's going to work if you allow them to do this. And right now you're allowing it. I'm sorry to tell you. You're allowing it. Now, I've got more news for you. The pandemic was a part of this, too. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it wasn't a real pandemic. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that people didn't die. I know people died. I know it was real. I had it physically affect my family. I had family members who got it, and it wasn't pleasant. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that part wasn't real. What I am going to tell you is there was a reason for it. And what I'm about to tell you is going to shock you. And I hope you fact-check me on it. I hope you take my advice and you go to YouTube and you find the interview I'm about to tell you exists with the former leader of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, who on a recent interview sat down and said, well, the reason Israel was able to overcome the pandemic so quickly and we weren't as terribly affected by it as the United States or England or Germany or France or Italy, is because we have that digital implant in 98% of our citizens' arms that allows us to tell the health of them right away. They just go to the hospital, and guess what we were able to do with that? When we gave them the vaccines, we were able to say, how does this vaccine affect people who have high blood pressure as opposed to people who don't? How does this vaccine affect people who have heart conditions as opposed to people who don't? How does this vaccine affect people who have diabetes as opposed to people who don't? And we basically became Pfizer's test. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? digital implants that can do a lot of other things. Oh, I'm sure it does track your health condition. All we have to do is scan you, and your whole health history comes right up, along with, I'm sure, who you voted for, how much money you make, all kinds of personal information, tracking devices so they know exactly where you go. And isn't it ironic that just a day or before Benjamin Netanyahu gives this interview, admitting that Pfizer was gaining that information from the citizens of Israel based upon those digital health scans, that we know in Ohio a few weeks before this train accident, they were all offered the same thing. The citizens of East Palestine was offered the same thing in the form of watches or, I don't know, pendants or whatever it was, but it was still going to do the same thing. They want us all so they can monitor every single bit of your activity. At all times, you're the house pets. They are the masters. And they're going to use this as an excuse to do it. Pretty soon it'll be, well, your children need to have this, or they can't go to school. So what are you going to do? Have your kid grow up uneducated and be a loser in life and can't do anything? No, you're not going to do that. I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to comply and say, well, I guess. In the long run, it's for the best. No, it's not. It's usurping your very freedom. It's not for the best. You're lab rats. But this is what they want to do. The next stop is you're not going to have money. Oh, money's old-fashioned. You're all going to get a card like they have in China. And it monitors all your purchases. So we know how much money you make. We know what you spend it on. Ah, you're spending an awful lot of money on beer lately. Isn't that interesting? You must have a drinking problem. Ah, you're spending money on fatty foods and things, so when you go to the hospital with a heart condition, we're going to say, you made those choices. Isn't that what Joy Behar basically said about the people in Ohio? Yeah, you made those choices. Next thing they got to do is cut down the population. So in case you haven't noticed, the life expectancy in this country has went down. You know why it's went down? Because your health care facilities, for the most part, when you reach a certain age, stops giving a damn. You go in the hospital at 40, they might take care of you. You go in the hospital at 80, you're in trouble. Big trouble. As much like Nazi Germany, who do they come for first? The handicapped. Because they were just a burden on society. So they needed to be eradicated. Then the old and the feeble, who were just, in their words, milking off the system, couldn't contribute anymore. Then they came for their political opponents, in that order. You don't see where this is going? They've made the criminals the good guys. They've made the laws so lax that they're getting out the same day and committing the same crime, sometimes two and three times in the same day. They're telling the police you're handcuffed to the point where basically if you're a police officer, you're going out there with your hands tied behind your back, and good luck. You're probably not going home to your wife and kid today, so guess what people are doing? Saying, I ain't going to be a police officer. Why the hell would I want to be a police officer? They're teaching children you don't have to respect police officers. You don't have to listen to police officers. They're all Nazis. They don't have a legal right to do this. They don't have a legal right to do that. Oh, it's terrible if a police officer pulls you over and says you were swerving on the road. They're Nazis. They're probably looking for an excuse to plant drugs on you or shoot you. So what do you expect kids to grow up thinking? When those flashing lights come on behind them and they think to themselves, Jesus Christ, I'm a heartbeat away from dying. So then they run. You set this all up. You did this. Rather than to teach your children respect for police, respect for authority, you're teaching them the exact opposite. Because the police are technically your enemy right now. You don't have enough police officers under your control. You have enough police commissioners, believe me. Merrick Garland said during his Senate hearings, we don't have enough jails or enough resources. So, yes, some of the crimes have to go unpunished to an extent because we just simply can't deal with it, and we have to allocate our resources to the more serious crime. Meanwhile, people are executing people. In the middle of daytime in major cities, people are being executed. When is the last time you heard that? When is the last time you heard there are literally just a homeless man just executed for no reason? A woman just pushed in front of a subway cart, no reason. Hell, there was a guy who just killed a mother and her daughter. He was let out from assaulting someone and then goes and does this. If you kept them in jail, they'd be alive. But the answer is, we just don't have enough facilities for them. Because they're going to be filled with parents at school board meetings and nasty insurrectionists who like Trump. I know they're drug dealers and they ran their girlfriend over with a car once, but we gave them their license back. And I know they ran over a bunch of kids at a Christmas parade, but it's not our fault. Yeah, it is your fault. That's what you want. Now, this creator of Dilbert says, creator of Dilbert, he's a victim. He's falling victim to exactly what I'm talking about. He says, I'm sick of seeing every time I open a paper or turn on a TV, an African-American killing or assaulting a white person. I'm sick of seeing it. It's quite obvious there's a war going on between us. No, that's not true. They're making it seem that way because they want to divide you from a racial point of view and a political point of view. Democrats and Republicans divided. Now black and white divided. Then they'll come for young and old divided. And they'll divide you as many ways as they possibly can because the more ways they divide you, the weaker you become. And the more easily conquered you are. You see, if we had a nation of people who said, wait just a minute, I didn't vote for Donald Trump, I don't like Donald Trump, I think he's a loudmouth and a bragger, and I think all of his policies are wrong for this country. But are you seriously going to try to tell me that he's a Russian spy? Are you going to raid his house for no reason? We're not accepting this. This is unacceptable to us as Americans. The war's over. They lose. Because they need you to think of the opposition, and I don't care whether it's the left or the right, they need you to think of the opposition. Now, I know people who say, ah, them damn leftist, nasty, perverted, whatever, they should all be wiped off the face of the earth. Yeah, see, you fell victim. You're playing right into their hands. That's what they want. Congratulations. You weren't smart enough to open your eyes and realize they're dividing you. Families against family, friends against friends, neighbors against neighbor. That's the way they want it. We always had the ability in this country to disagree politically and socially and say, okay, but, you know, you're still a nice person. We just disagree. But what's ended up happening is they pushed the bar so far now, folks. So far. But there's a point of no return. When you send your 8-year-old daughter to school and the teachers tell her, you don't tell your mommy that we're going to dress you like a boy. You don't tell your mommy that we're going to refer to you as a boy. You'd rather be a boy, wouldn't you? Here's some research on boys, and then they even showed these kids how they skin graft a penis into a vagina and vice versa. They're trying to destroy your children. They're trying to destroy their upbringing, their moral values. They're trying to destroy their faith. They're trying to destroy your memories. If nothing is good anymore, I can't go to the movies because they just keep shoving woke down my throat. I can't watch sporting events because they're doing all kinds of woke things before the national anthem. I can't listen to music because this band is preaching things I don't believe in. You have no outlet for your frustration, and you become angry. And then when you become angry and you say angry things, they say, oh, see how loose cannon these people are? See how crazy they are? They're terrorists. Meanwhile, the people who are burning cities to the ground are brave social justice warriors. You don't think that's intentional? Every step of the way, folks, they have planned this. Every step of the way, and they've been as patient as they can possibly be. And the only snag they have hit on their road to fundamentally change this country into a Marxist paradise is they never expected Donald Trump to win the presidency. That's why you saw panic. That's why you saw frenzy. That's why you saw people who were just like, we have to stop this. I'm seeing flags being waved. I'm seeing people chanting USA. We can't have this. We openly had Democratic politicians saying the flag is a symbol of hatred. The American flag. But the gay pride flag can fly. Put a gay pride flag on one of your condos, and you won't have any homeowners association tell you to take it down. You put an American flag up, tell you to take it down. What do you think that's all about? Fundamentally changing the way you think. This has been a long-standing war, folks, but it's not really been fought yet. It's just all the soldiers were being put in place. Now the war's starting to be fought. We saw an election in 2020 that I think is highly, highly questionable. Not because of stupid Dominion voting machines, because you changed the laws. Because you withheld information, because you made the DOJ literally the enforcement arm of the Democratic Party, who look the other way when you do something wrong. And when someone tries to correct what you did wrong, they're the bad guy and they need to go to jail. I remember people saying, George Floyd didn't have a weapon, or this guy and this guy didn't have a weapon, and they were shot by the police, or they were choked out by the police. How about Ashley Babbitt? She didn't have a weapon, and she was blown the hell away by a police officer. And people said, you're a hero, because she supported Trump. So I imagine when the poor Jewish community were being trained into these death camps and put in the showers, I imagine there were a decent amount of those soldiers who were saying, good for us. Getting rid of the trash. That's what they were thinking. They weren't thinking of them as human beings. Could you do that to another human being? They did. What, are they all serial killers? They're all psychopaths? No. They were mentally altered to believe these people were less than human. So it didn't faze them to do the horrible things they did to them. It didn't faze them. Well, now we have Joy Behar and amongst other people on television saying, hey, the people in Ohio got what they deserve, they're Trump voters. Get your vote for. Ha, 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 ha. You're probably going to die of chemical pneumonia, chemical bronchitis. And I'm glad because you're a Trump supporter. What kind of human being does that? Same kind of human beings that helped march the Jews into the shower. And they weren't even sad about it because they didn't think of them as humans. Let me go to the phones. Tom in New York, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Wow, there's a lot of information to take in 45 minutes. But I'd like to just comment on, there's a whole bunch I'd like to comment on. But the most important thing that we got to remember is that this really started in motion when Hillary Clinton was running for president versus Donald Trump, and they were talking about impeaching him the minute the minute he was sworn in. Even before that, she just, you know, Trump supporters are a basket of deplorables, and they're Islamophobic and this-a-phobic and that-a-phobic. Well, phobia means you're scared of them, right? That's a fear. So you're afraid of Islamic people? We're afraid of homosexuals? No, that's not true at all. It doesn't make you a phobic. So she was speaking out of her ass. Like she's done
well,
her
what
entire
you're saying,
career.
Let me pause you there for a minute. What you're saying is true, but it started long before that. See, they had to get all of their people in a row. They had to get their judges elected. They had to get their prosecutors and their district attorneys. They had to get their school teachers. They had to get their FBI heads. They had to get their police chiefs. They had to get them all on their side. They had to get all of those people elected and put into place. All the little soldiers had to go into place. Then became the, well, if you voted for Trump, you're not human, really. You're subhuman. You hate this group and that group and this group. And then, okay, so everybody, you know, if all of the black community is told all the white cops want to kill you and all the white people secretly hate you and they enslaved all your people and they laugh at you and they purposely keep you down, if I'm an African-American, I'll be like, yeah, screw them. Screw them. I don't give a damn what happens to them. See? And then if you're in the white community and you see, well, we're giving them reparations. We're going to hand every one of them money to keep their businesses open. You get nothing. And we're going to give them this, and we're going to give them that. You say, hey, what about my family? Screw them. Who do they think they are? And see, that's how they divide you. They make you not like each other. Oh, if you're a Democrat, I have to hate you. If you're a Republican, I have to hate you. If you're black, I have to hate you. If you're white, I have to hate you. That's what they want. And this is the same thing at the border, Tom. I mean, they know eventually, they figure the younger generation is going to be all indoctrinated by them. The older generation dies off. They bring in millions of new illegals who are basically at their mercy, and they have a voting bloc for the next 20 years.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, like about that. And you know, here's the thing too about the border. I said this on my show last week, and it's true. It's a real statistic. Their seat at the border, they're seizing. Now keep that in mind. I want everybody to listen carefully. They're seizing enough fentanyl at the border to kill every American citizen in this country times four. That's a real statistic. I didn't make that up. That's just the stuff that's being seized. See, the administration wants the fentanyl to come in here. Because if they didn't want it to come in here, they'd stop it. You know how they'd stop it? Close the border. They don't want to close the border. They want their voters. They want the drugs. They want the trafficking. They want every single thing that's happening because that's their plan.
Well, I mean, listen, here's the deal when it comes to the fentanyl. That's a whole other show because I think that there's probably an exchange taking place, and that is we'll let you run your fentanyl in here and you in turn give us what we want or some sort of kickback on things. That's a whole other show. Speaking of which, your show, which is Don't Get Me Started, is Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if I'm not mistaken, on Talk 29, which I will also be doing some special reports on from time to time. So if you're into this sort of political or social commentary, go check out Tom's show Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Talk 29, and check out my show on Talk 29 as well. I'll be there eventually. Folks, listen. You're worried about Russia. I get it. You're worried about China. I get it. And we should be worried about them. But the very first thing we need to be worried about is the war right here that's taking place. The war that made you hate your neighbor. The war that made you not want to go to your cousin's house or your aunt's house or your sister's house for Thanksgiving. The war that made you and your white friend, if you're black, or black friend, if you're white, part ways. The war that's stealing your children's innocence. The war that's taking away morals and replacing them with an immoral society that just feeds off crime and perversion. Because if you think we're easy to take over when we're divided, think of how Russia and China must be salivating at the thought. Ah, we could invade this country and half the people wouldn't even stick up for the other half because they'd say, I'll let the people in rural America die. They're all Trump voters anyway. Who cares? And the Trump voters would say, oh, they're wiping out California. Great. We can't have this, folks. We cannot have this. You have been conditioned to isolate and divide by race, by political ideology, by sexuality, by everything else. I have never played that game. And you can ask any single person who knows me in real life, and they will tell you, Marcus Cain has never played that game. I treat all my friends equally, and I have friends of every religious denomination, non-religious denomination, sexuality, ideology, skin color, etc. And they're all been treated exactly the same by me because I refuse to play that game. And there's a lot of people who refuse to play that game, and they know it. So they say, well, if we can't get them to isolate them based on their skin color, sexuality, whatever it happens to be, they'll isolate them on their actions. So we'll make them do something. Well, we'll force them to go to a school board meeting and yell, and then the people will be like, well, those are nuts. Those are redneck nuts, and I don't want nothing to do with them. And the people who support this kind of thing, they'll say, well, I don't want people who think it's okay to teach my 8-year-old sex. Started with CRT. So everybody could go on their media and say, all they were trying to teach is slavery. And you see, the white people don't want the children to know about slavery. They want to erase that as if it didn't happen. This happened to you. And the white people are telling you, oh, we're not teaching your children that. That wasn't it. Everybody learns about slavery. CRT is a Marxist agenda. That's what they were sneaking in there. A Marxist agenda. Disguising it as, oh, no, we're just teaching about slavery. Untrue. Verifiably untrue. And by the way, before we go, I got to tell you that Joe Biden embarrassed himself again and said, I lowered the national debt by $1.7 million. Well, you didn't lower the national debt. And it was $1 trillion you were trying to say. And that was the deficit, not the debt. He couldn't even get he didn't even know. He didn't know the deficit from the debt. And he didn't know a trillion from a billion. The man is out to lunch. He's a figurehead. He's the guy they put in the suit so they could pull the strings and he could move his mouth and he could say what they want him to say and implement what they want him to do. I told you they put all their soldiers in place. Well, he was the biggest one. Because through him, they can do anything. The people behind the scenes. We're at war, folks. And I think it's about time everybody realized it.
Marcus Cain. As I see it. Common sense. In a world of insanity.